Bibles to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 16, should be on page 685, the Bible's in the chairs, Proverbs chapter 16, let's pray before we read God's Word. Father, we thank You that You are the God of all wisdom. Thank You that You, in Your wisdom, determined to share with us what it is to be wise. And we thank You that You revealed Your Word so that we would enter into that Word and that we would meet You, that we would meet ourselves, and we would understand how we're rightly connected to You. And we thank You that You continue to reveal to us in Your Word how You want us to live. So we pray, Father, that You would speak to us from Your Word in this day, and that You will teach us by Your Word, and that You will shape our lives in a way that will bring pleasure to Your own name, to Your own countenance, and that will bring glory to You. Father, we thank You that You have glorified Yourself in Jesus Christ. Thank You that You Yourself are continually glorified. And thank You for letting us enter into the experience of bringing You glory in living our lives according to Your Word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 16, we'll read the first 19 verses. The plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. Commit your work to the Lord, and your plans will be established. The Lord has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked, for the day of trouble. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Be assured he will not go unpunished. By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, and by the fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenue with injustice. The heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. An oracle is on the lips of a king. His mouth does not sin in judgment. A just balance and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to do evil, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of a king, and he loves him who speaks what is right. A king's wrath is a message of death, and a wise man will appease it. In the light of a king's face there is life, and his favor is like the clouds that bring the spring rain. How much better to get wisdom than gold? To get understanding is to be chosen rather than silver. The highway of the upright turns aside from evil. Whoever guards his way preserves his life. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. It's better to be of a lowly spirit with the poor than to divide spoil with the proud. This much that we read from God's Word, and I invite you to keep your Bible open and also to look at the outline that's been provided for you in your bulletins. July 27 is a very special day. Do any of you know why? I'm not asking you because of something that happened on July 27. If I was, then I might be drawing attention to my wife's birthday or something of greater significance, if there could be, than that. You know, I mean, July 27 is a very important day because it shaped August 27. Without her birth, we would not be married, you know. But we're not looking back. We're looking ahead. July 27, 2012 will be a very special day for another reason. Anybody know why? No, I'm not going on vacation that day. Anybody? Nobody knows July. Hannah, do you know? Because it's your birthday. It's not Kathy's birthday. It's your birthday. Nobody knows. Interesting. July 27 is the date of the opening ceremony of the Olympics. July 27 is the day that the entire world focuses on going for the gold. July 27 is the day when achieving gold is the greatest day in anybody's lifetime. And we're here to talk about an event and a realization that is greater than being a gold medal winner at the Olympics. So, of course, our girls in gyms know that this is a little bit of a trick question. If we ask, what is better than gold? What could be greater than attaining gold? What could be more important than getting a mass of silver? Our girls have been focusing on this theme this year, and they're reminding us that there is something definitely greater and better than gold. And we ask, well, what could that be? I mean, it sounds like a trick question. And even to many of our girls, as they grow up, they think, well, diamonds are better than gold. That's what Krista thinks right now. There's a few others that are probably thinking the same thought. And so, there's definitely something better than gold, right? The writer of the book of Proverbs, who was the wisest man to live, the wisest man to walk upon planet Earth until Jesus was born, said that wisdom is greater than gold. And it's better to get wisdom than to get gold. You know, when I write a sermon, I don't just sit down and think about what I'm going to say, and I don't pray and trust the Holy Spirit to lead me and stand up without anything to say. I work on what I'm going to say. And you put a number of pages together for what we're going to say. And in that process, I read the text over and over, and I read the text in three languages because I want to understand what the author is saying and what the worldview is saying. And I read a lot of books written about the text. And one of the authors that I read this week says, very honestly, Proverbs 16:16 is written by the wisest man to ever live. He wrote it by being the wisest, and God even told him what to write, and yet nobody believes what he wrote. He says, it comes to us from the wisest man by the hand of the wisest and only God, and nobody believes it. He said, nobody believes it because we all want gold. And we want gold more than anything. And he says, we come to our churches and we say for 1 hour at a gems meeting, I want wisdom more than gold. And then they go home and live for the gold. And we come to a worship service and we say, thank you, gems, for pointing out to us that wisdom is better than gold. And when we say, we read it in the Bible, and the appropriate response to reading in the Bible is to say, amen, and now let's go out this week and make sure we get more gold. And you have to give the guy credit, not only for his honesty, but for being close to the mark in describing humanity and Christianity. That there are people in relationship with God that live their lives as though they're not in relationship with God. That is to say that we live our lives as citizens of this world, and the thing that we want more than anything else is what advances us in this world, and you don't advance in this world without a good measure of gold. We prayed before we started this sermon. We asked God to open our hearts and our minds, and we expect Him to do that because we asked Him to teach us from the perspective of His Word. And so we come into conflict. We come into a conflict with a situation that we are taught that wisdom is better than gold. And we bring an experience of spending most of our time acquiring gold more than wisdom. And when we acquire wisdom, we want that wisdom to be focused. We want it to be focused in such a way that we get more gold. And so the thing that we work on is we work on doing our jobs better. We work on creating that niche so that our jobs are a little more secure. And we are advancing our pursuit of our gold. Well, in an attempt to stay close to the GEMS theme for the year, I want to try and keep us focused on the language used in this text to consider living life for something greater than gold and going beyond the gold to the wonders of wisdom. And I think we need to do that in a process. And so we are going to prepare to make wise choices. And I put this in the context of shopping for the best choice. How many like to shop? Oh, where is it? Let me see that hand. I mean, there are some that I know are shoppers, but their hands aren't going up. You know, it's just like, let's have a little honest admission here. And how many of you like to shop for things that are on sale? Why? Why do you want to shop for things that are on sale? Why bother with a sale when you can just plop down the money and get whatever you want whenever you want it? How about research? Do you ever research something you're going to buy? You look at consumer reports or read product reviews or ask friends who bought similar things what they like and they don't like? Karen Agnew was researching product reviews last night so that she could determine what fishing reel she wanted to order. And she's dialoguing with me saying, how about this? How about that? I read this. What do you think about that? She's doing a product review, entering into this discussion, talking to friends who bought similar things. What do you like about it? What don't you like about it? So that you can make a better purchase. Well, believe it or not, that's what we're doing today is we're going shopping. And we want to make a wise effort here. And we're going to find out, actually, that it ends up being a futile effort. But we still have to go through the process even to learn. The writer of the Proverbs has given his opinion that it's better to get wisdom than gold. So when we look at a product review concerning the evaluation of should we get wisdom or should we get gold, the writer of Proverbs is saying, I am telling you, it's better to get gold. Don't get this model, get this one. It's better to get gold. And actually, he said that getting wisdom is way better than gold. And to get understanding is a better choice than the choice to get silver. That if our choice is to get silver, in his opinion, we blew it. It would have been a far better choice to get understanding. And because of the nature of the decision, this is a big decision, we want to do a little research. And focusing a life upon wisdom or gold, it's not like buying a candy bar, it's more like picking the right college. It's going to affect the situation and set up things that we may or may not meet Mr. or Mrs. Wright, that we may or may not be focused in our vocation. But normally that's how things go, that we pick out these things and these big experiences. So we have to do some traveling. We have to visit different schools, and we have to make comparisons. We look at the book of Proverbs. We find that this is the third time that this same message is given concerning the greater value of wisdom over gold. Turn back in your Bibles to Proverbs 3, 13 to 15. It's a test because I asked you to leave them open. Proverbs 3, 13 to 15. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. In Proverbs 16, the writer said that wisdom was a better value than gold. And in Proverbs 3, he says wisdom pays a better interest rate. So the writer talks about wisdom as if it were a commodity, as if it were a lifelong investment. And brothers and sisters, it is. Now go to Proverbs 8, verses 10 and 11. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, even diamonds, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. And here the writer tells us that wisdom is the absolute best thing that we can get in human life. So our comparison shopping, if we call it that, really makes a good case for getting wisdom. It's a better value. It pays a better interest rate, and it is a sustainable investment that we can trust in. But we're not finished yet. We need to evaluate the comparison and see if indeed it makes the best sense. And so we need to understand the best value. How is wisdom, for example, better than gold? I mean, is it better than gold? In whose world? Like we said, certainly not this one. Money seems to talk, and people seem to desire money more than anything, and gold equals money. But what if there is more to being human than this life? What if the little wisdom that we gain actually is wisdom that we never lose? And whatever gold we gain, be it little or lot, we definitely lose. It stays on earth. So wisdom is better because it's more durable, it's more lasting. For this reason, Jesus says we're not to store up treasure on earth where moth and rust can destroy and where thieves can break in and steal. Instead, we're to store up treasure in heaven where neither moth nor rust can destroy and thieves cannot break in and steal. Well, secondly, after doing some comparison, we need to learn how to engage this and to make the wise choices. And first of all, this is learning where to shop. We don't buy dresses in the grocery store. We don't get wisdom on our own. Getting wisdom depends on living life and learning along the way. Getting wisdom depends on living life in relationship with God. It's not just knowing God, it's not just knowing that there is a God, but knowing God in the way that leads us to worship Him in awe and deep respect and reverence. And the Bible calls that the fear of the Lord. And it tells us that this is the beginning of wisdom, that we cannot have biblically described wisdom without an active, vibrant relationship with God. And so we need to learn where to shop. And that means knowing that we get wisdom from a relationship and living life in relationship with God. And so if we're stepping outside of that worldview, outside of living in relationship with God, then we're wasting our time trying to acquire wisdom. And we also need to learn not just where to shop, but how not to shop. When we lived in Liberia, we had to set up a home, much like all of us do when we move and you go to a new place, and like Pastor James and Jenny are doing, and they look at a situation of coming on a fairly major move, and what do they have of value to move? And so they thought, well, it would be better for us to get something when we get to Spokane. And out of your generosity, you said, yes, we agree, and let's make it easy for you to move to Spokane. We will help you make this transition. So we're in Liberia, and we decided that we wanted some wicker furniture. Now, here, wicker furniture is a little bit esoteric. you know, and it's a little harder to get. There you have to understand that there is the material for wicker furniture within 2 miles of any place that you are, because it's jungle. And wicker, for lack of a better term, grows in the jungle. And it's just, it's everywhere. And so it's very common to get wicker furniture. And we pull up to this place and we're looking at some things that we want to get for wicker furniture. And this other family drive up, and this lady gets out of the car, runs over there, points at something, pays down the money, grabs it and goes and gets in her car. She got what she wanted. I assume she was very happy. She drove down the road just a little ways, and the car is out of sight, and the whole place erupted. It was pandemonium. You could not buy anything because people are literally rolling on the ground laughing. They're slapping their legs, and they're hooting, and they're hollering, and they're catcalling and pointing, and they're yelling, and they're ridiculing this lady for going in and just buying this furniture. And then the men told us that they were actually poking fun of her. And they're poking fun of her because she valued the object more than the relationship with the maker. That what they wanted was conversation. And they said, we would rather that you talk with us about whether or not you're going to buy this and go away without buying it than to just come and give us money and take it away. There is more value in bartering and not getting a sale than making a sale. And we're talking about people that are probably dependent on that sale for their family's food that day. And they would rather have an interaction as the maker than have you attain the product. Now, I wonder if there's an analogy there or some sort of allegory in terms of how God might view relationship and might view what we get. That maybe even the God who designed a world with gold in it would rather that we connected with Him, and that would be a connection of wisdom, than that we just took His goods and called it our own. And the men at this wicker shop told us that the worst thing about what this lady did is that she didn't respect them. I mean, how am I not respecting you? You asked for a price for something. I came in. I paid you your price. I respected you ultimately. I got what I want. You got what you want. Away we go. No, if you don't care to interact with me, then you don't respect me, was their point of view. And so, since my mother didn't raise any fools, I pulled up a chair and I said, well, we're here to respect you. And they said, no, you just want a better price. Well, that too. But you enter into a relationship. We learned a very important lesson on how not to shop. In our culture, shopping is about getting what we want quickly and for the best price. But in another culture, shopping is about honoring the people who make the product. And shopping is about connecting with the seller and not just connecting with the object. And what if we learned how to shop in a way to connect with the manufacturer? And I'm not even talking about the divine sense now. What if our shopping was determined according to a connection with the people who made the product and what their worldview was, and what if we really cared if there was some relationship there? Would it change anything that we do? Would we enter into a process of living wiser as stewards of creation? And as part of a global community, than just selfishly without thinking, getting what we want, when we want it, and going away? What if we valued relationship, even though it's a relationship with somebody we've never even met? Would that make a difference? Would it matter to buy things that are the rage in the green market? What if there's even some good reasons behind that? And what if there's a deeper reason behind everything that God has given us, and that we understand that we don't have a single thing apart from our connection with Him? Even the breath that we take is a gift. And the life that we live is by His pleasure. And so we take nothing for granted. We become people who are utterly humble and totally dependent on the God who provides for us and the providers that He uses. And relationship is geared from a point of personal humility, always considering others more highly than ourselves. And what if we have to learn how to shop or how not to shop in relationship with God? And I believe that's what Proverbs 16 is teaching us. It goes deeper than focusing on the object that we get. It's not a matter of getting wisdom or getting gold or understanding or silver. The Bible teachers and the Bible scholars on this verse, verse 16, they tell us that this is written in a very special way to focus not on the object, but to focus on the process of getting the object. And so I was not just talking about shopping because this is Gem Sunday and I'm desperately hoping to connect with younger girls. But actually, that's what's articulated in this text. That Proverbs 16:16 is about the process of acquiring wisdom versus the process of acquiring gold. And that it involves a comparison and it involves a relationship. And that we have to enter into those very things. And that shopping is actually a very good illustration to fit the grammar of what the writer has given us. That he is describing a process of going about getting something. And now that we know where we're going and we know why we're doing it, we can finally shop like men and get to the chase and get it done. Right? That we need to make wise choices. Ultimately, wisdom is about seeing life properly and seeing it with understanding. And if we understand wisdom, we know that wisdom begins with God. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. But the ones who are wise," the antithesis to the fool, "are the ones that understand that it comes from God." Psalms 111, verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. His praise endures forever." That we understand that wisdom begins with a right relationship with God, where God is held in honor and high esteem, and that's where wisdom starts. And the Lord gives wisdom through His Word. Proverbs 2:6, "For the Lord gives wisdom." That's pretty clear. "From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding." And Deuteronomy chapter 4 focuses upon the Word of God. And in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 4, it says that keeping the Word and doing the Word is our wisdom. So if we say today, what is wisdom? Wisdom is keeping God's Word. And all of a sudden we realize that we're in trouble. Because we have not and we do not keep God's Word fully and completely. At least not to God's standard. We may do it to our standards. Well, I do the best I can. I do better than most. I mean, I'm really trying here. But we're not meeting God's standard. In Proverbs 16, the same section of Proverbs that we read, in verse 6 says, "By steadfast love and faithfulness, iniquity is atoned for, And by fear of the Lord, one turns away from evil. And our trouble increases because we do not live by the word perfectly. We do not love God to the standard of God. And we have no hope of actually gaining atonement on our own, by our own steadfast love. And Mary Lynn will say to me, you didn't say the word. The word is chesed. And we did not carry it out by our own actions of loving God more than anyone else. We love ourselves more than we love God. So we're immediately disqualified. And that leads us to God in a different way. 1 John 4:10 says, and this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He has loved us and sent His Son to be, the NIV says, an atoning sacrifice. That's a nice summary. The ESV says more particularly, to be a propitiatory sacrifice. It tells us the very type of sacrifice. That this is love, not that we love God, but that God loved us so much that He would provide a sacrifice to satisfy Himself. So God does for you and me what we could never, ever do on our own. And to get wisdom, we need to understand that. We need to understand that God provides a sacrifice that His anger is satisfied. And God provides a sacrifice that establishes a new relationship. And apart from that, everything is hopeless. But with His word and His declaration, there is ultimate hope that He's telling us the truth. And that we lean now toward understanding, obedience, and grace. The writer to Hebrews says, then I said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God, just as it is written of me in the scroll of the book. When he said above, you have desired neither nor take pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings, these are offered according to the law. And he added, behold, I've come to do your will. And the writer says, when Jesus said that, he does away with the first in order to establish the second. That there is now a new criteria for every interaction with God, a new demonstration of love. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 1, God chose what is low, what is despised in the world. He even chose things that are not. And He chose them to bring things that are not so that they are. So that no human being might boast in the presence of God. And because of Him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us the wisdom of God. He became righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And so we are living in wisdom, finally. That Jesus is the wisdom of God before our very eyes. And Jesus is the only place that we can discern the path of life that leads to wisdom. We don't shop for Him. He calls us and we respond to Him. Pursuing the wisdom of life in Christ then becomes a new endeavor for the living. And it becomes a sharing in the wisdom that never, ever ends. So the Apostle John says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but it's from the world. And the world is passing away with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. That, brothers and sisters, today when we realize that to get wisdom is better than gold, we recognize that there is a wisdom given to us in God's Word that is the wisdom of God Himself. And it's the wisdom of what God has done to give us a new hope, to give us a new perspective. And now He calls us to live life out of that new reality. And He enables us to gain wisdom. And we move from those who are dead to those who are alive. We move from those who are living for themselves to living for His honor and His glory. And we bring Him praise. And we bring Him thanks. And we enter into a life of wisdom. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for teaching us that there's a contrast in society, a contrast between those things that come from You and things that come from the world. And we thank You that You also teach us that we have a pattern of conforming to the style of the world. And You, in Your wisdom, chose to teach us in Your word to not continue to conform to the patterns of the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So, Father, give us a new heart. Give us a new mind to think new thoughts. And give us Your life-giving word to sustain us in our everlasting life with You. Lord, open our eyes that we may see Jesus and understand the folly and understand the wonder of a lifestyle for Your honor compared to a lifestyle of pursuing the gold. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.